in many ways in these readings, you know, we can see that God gives parameters to his people. He gives kind of a set of boundaries. And, you know, essentially these days, that's what we call the church. A lot of people sort of want a boundaryless church. They're like, I don't want to be told what to do, you know, and in so many ways, shapes and forms. But we can kind of see the only one that can change that really is God himself. And there's an example of that in the experience that Peter has. Something, parameters that he had given to the Israelite community were something that was going to change. You know, there was something about them that were not, it wasn't a fulfillment of what was to happen. It was just kind of something that they needed for the time. And so you see kind of some major shifts that are happening. But then you also see that in the gospel when he's referring to, you know, the gate is Jesus Christ himself. So there are parameters to following him, to actually following his way. And some of the most important things that we have, again, are, you know, what we hear is the activity of the Holy Spirit and then the need for baptism. So I wanted to share with you all today, this is from, and sometimes I just make these assumptions that everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say these things, so I'll explain it. Many of you know this because I know many of you also pray what we would say the breviary or the liturgy of the hours are just kind of synonymous terms. Breviary is actually the book, but liturgy of the hours is the prayers. And so all clergy are bound to pray. Clergy and religious are usually bound to pray the liturgy of the hours, which are five different hours of prayer throughout the day. It's not an hour long. You know, like night prayer only takes you probably about 5 minutes or something like that. But it's five different times of day that you pray. But the first office of the day is office of readings. And there's two readings in there, two usually longer readings, a longer part of the day. But this is from the second reading of the office of readings for today. And this is from the book on the Holy Spirit by St. Basil the Great. And so it says, our Lord made a covenant with us through baptism in order to give us eternal life. There is in baptism an image of both death and of life, the water being the symbol of death, the Spirit giving the pledge of life. The association of water and the Spirit is explained by the twofold purpose by which baptism was instituted, namely, to destroy the sin in us so that it can never again give birth to death. So that's the most important thing that we realize about baptism, is baptism is a forgiveness of original sin, which is a condition of all humanity after the fall of Adam and Eve. And so, you know, but and that's the thing. And so when we're forgiven of original sin, then we can inherit eternal life. You know, again, find it, you know, if we do the parameters that the Lord gives us, the law that he calls us to live by. The water into which the body enters as into a tomb symbolizes death. The Spirit instills into us his life-giving power, awakening our souls from death of sin to the life that they had in the beginning. This, then, is what it means to be born of water and the Spirit. We die in the water, and we come to life again through the Spirit. To signify this death and to enlighten the baptized by transmitting them to knowledge of God, the great sacrament of baptism is administered by means of a triple immersion. So, you know, like, the, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the invocation of each of the three divine persons. Whatever grace there is in the water comes not from its own nature, but from the presence of the Spirit. Since baptism is not a cleansing of the body, but a pledge made to God from a clear conscience, as a preparation for our life after the resurrection. Our Lord tells us in the gospel how we should live here and now, exactly what I was talking about. The gospel tells us how to live here and now on this earth. He teaches us to be peaceable, long-suffering, undefiled by desire for pleasure, and detached from worldly wealth. In this way, we can achieve by our own free choice the kind of life that will be natural in the world to come. So if we live by the virtues, by the parameters that God gives us here, we will be closer to the understanding of what it's like to live eternally, to live in heaven. Through the Holy Spirit, we are restored to paradise. We ascend to the kingdom of heaven, and we are reinstated as adopted sons and daughters. Thanks to the Spirit, we obtain the right to call God our Father. we become sharers in the grace of Christ. We are called children of light. Blessing is showered upon us, both in this world and in the world to come, as we contemplate them even now, like a reflection in a mirror. It is as though we already possess the good things that our faith tells us that we shall one day enjoy. If this is the pledge, what will the perfection be? If these are the first fruits, what will the full harvest be? God bless y'all today.